Will you pray with me? Lord, yes, we need you. Our defense, our righteousness. And Lord, where we are in you, that is when we are free. I pray now as we embark on this series and focus on these things, Lord, would you take what I have prepared? Would you deepen us? Would you grow us up into you? That we would have that place of freedom and wholeness in you. So, Lord, may we listen to what you would have to say to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. A vision that I have had for us here at Olivet is that this would be a place of healing. A safe place for everyone to come, for people then to experience the love of Christ, receiving his healing, his wholeness, his freedom. And so for this sermon series, what we're going to do is focus on the various areas of our life and how we can open up all those areas to Christ, allowing his love and healing to touch every aspect of our lives. We'll begin by considering our spiritual life, and then we'll look at our emotional life, our relationships, our physical health, our thought patterns, and then looking beyond ourselves. Some of our Connect groups will be following up on the series, so there are some study guide questions, and those are out on the welcome desk if you'd like to grab one of those. I've also designed, with Dana's help, a passport for you. And my hope that this will be kind of an interactive, fun piece that will aid us on this journey. To kind of view it like, okay, we're going to be traveling to all these different places. So for each of these places that we're going to visit, there is a place in here for you to write down where you want to go. You know, when you travel somewhere, you usually plan some of the things that you're going to do, some kind of activity that you want to participate in while you're there. One time when I went to London, you know, I wanted to go see the London Eye, and I wanted to be able to go to an evensong at St. Paul's Cathedral. Well, in order to have those things happen, I had to make plans. In each of these sections in your passport, there is a place for you to write down where you want to go, giving you an opportunity to think through the things that you want to do and to make a plan. For example, next week, when we talk about the Bible, well, you might want to make a plan of, say, okay, I want to memorize one verse of Scripture a week. Or maybe, you know, during the week, I just want to have one kind of longer time of sitting down and reading God's Word. When we get to the section on forgiveness, well, maybe your plan is, I'm going to make an appointment and I'm going to talk with someone with whom I have been estranged. You know, there's an expression, fail to plan and you plan to fail. I want us to succeed in our lives. So hopefully this little tool will kind of help us along our way. With a passport, you know, when you go places, you get a stamp. So for these passports, I have provided stickers. Now, they're more like kid stickers, but that's okay, right? You know, so that when you have traveled somewhere, that then you can, after you've written it down and you've done it, like you have gone and spoken to that person, or yes, I did memorize that verse, then you can put a little sticker in there to have you have completed this. I find it so interesting, you know, take a passport later on and, you know, look back. Wow, oh yeah, I remember going to all those different places. Well, when this study's over, I hope that then you can look back at all the places that you visited and consider what kind of impact that has had on your life. And maybe some of those things that you have done, you're going to want to consider continuing to do. My goal with the series is it's not going to be just a bunch of sermons you hear and then you leave, but taking steps to implement change in our lives. Change that will bring healing and wholeness. In Paul's prayer to the Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, he says, "My prayer for you is that God himself, the God of peace, will sanctify you through and through in your whole spirit, soul, and body. Paul refers to these three main aspects of our being: spirit, soul, and body. We're not beings that are separate and distinctively different components, but rather we are whole people. And all these aspects are interwoven. You know, here at the church, we often talk about our spiritual life, but we kind of tend to neglect the other parts. But we are created as whole beings. And what happens in one area adversely affects the others. So thus, we're going to take time to look at the whole of our lives, to look at our emotional life, our physical life, our mental health, and see how Jesus impacts all of these areas. On a couple of occasions, I've had an opportunity to go to a camp that's just across the border called Cedar Springs. You can go for the day. Once a month, they have a day that they set aside called Soul Care Day. It's only $20 to go for the day. It's a self-directed time where you've got access to just their beautiful grounds, their facilities. And so you can walk in the trails, you know, you can sit beside the fire. Just take time to be with God, to pray, to listen. So in January, I took a day to do this, just to pray for the church, for you here at Olivet. And as I was praying and I was thinking about this upcoming sermon series, a passage in Revelation came to mind about to being healing for the nations. And then I felt directed to read what the Lord had to say to the various churches in the beginning of the book of Revelation. And then as I was reading through, I was particularly struck when I came to Revelation 3:20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. You've probably heard that verse many times. And people have tended to interpret this verse as being directed to those who are not Christians, who are kind of outside of the faith, saying that Jesus is there, you know, knocking on the door of your heart, wanting to come in and be part of your life. Well, there is some truth to that, but that is not what this verse is about. This verse is directed to a church, and the church was leaving him out. Jesus was speaking to the church at Laodicea. And this is what the passage says in its context in verses 14 to 22. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Laodicea. This is the message from the one who is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's new creation. I know all the things that you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say, I'm rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. Also buy white garments for me so you will not be ashamed of your nakedness, and ointment for your eyes so you will be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love, so be diligent and turn from your indifference. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, and we will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. Anyone who hears with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. This was a message for a church that was lukewarm. The church had a lot going on. They thought they were doing well, but they had left Jesus out. The message paraphrases that they were stale and stagnant. You would think that, you know, leaving out of doesn't happen in churches, but unfortunately it does. The church in Laodicea was there doing their own thing. We can easily get caught up in that. And they were relying on themselves, not depending on Jesus for their life and for their witness. We need to be bold enough to ask, where are we doing the same thing? Where are we just going about life doing our own thing, and not letting Jesus in. Maybe, yes, we welcome him here on Sunday. We listen to his word and open our heart and worship. But what about when Monday rolls around? How about how we interact with others at work, our neighbors, our family? How about our attitudes, what we eat, what we do, how we spend our money? Do you know that there are over 2,000 verses in the Bible that talk about money and possessions? But yet, how often do we just not touch on this? That we leave out all these parts of our lives. One person commented, "I didn't always understand the connection between my fellowship with Christ and the rest of my life." We live in a world where people don't have a lot of completeness. We run around from home to work to other places looking for fulfillment in our families, our careers, our hobbies, or other pastimes. And we're so focused on these other things that we lose sight on what makes us whole. When we don't allow Jesus into every area of our lives end up being lukewarm, insipid, lacking taste or savor, stagnant, wretched, and miserable. Jim Dennison, in a forum that he wrote a few years ago, he said this: "Walking in my neighborhood yesterday morning, I was surprised to see a giant tree laying on the ground. The day before, it stood erect and regal. Now it was sprawling on the street. There had been no storm or high winds in our area. And looking closer, I saw the cause: rot in the interior of the trunk. It looked strong on the outside, but was dying on the inside. That was the status of the church at Laodicea. What's on the inside of our lives? Where are the areas of our lives that are rotting? Christ wants to bring us health and wholeness. And the Hebrew word shalom, that we translate peace, means more than just, you know, our English sense of the word. It comes from a Hebrew root word meaning wholeness. When we neglect part of our lives, when we leave Jesus on the outside, we miss out on that sense of wholeness, of shalom. In the image that I'm using for this series is, as you can see, puzzle pieces. And to complete a puzzle, you have to have all the pieces together in order to have that picture. Miss one and the picture just isn't complete. The picture we want to allow in is Jesus, letting him into every area of our life. God's desire for us is to become whole in spirit, soul, and body. And if we are to be whole, we must allow God into those deepest parts of who we are. Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 5 tells us, "Listen, Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your being and all your might." This passage of scripture is called the Shema. And Shema gets its name from the first Hebrew word in this prayer, which is listen. The word listen here means to allow the words to sink in, to provide an understanding, and then to generate a response. It's an invitation to respond to God's grace and his mercy with love, faithfulness, obedience. And the passage there later goes on to say, "You shall bind these words as a sign on your hand, and they shall be symbols between your eyes." The physical location of, you know, on your hands and between your eyes is symbolic. You know, your eyes are a place of all of those things where you look, what you see. And your hands, well, they're for almost everything that we do. This prayer was to guide the vision and the action of every moment of life. The Shema became a prayer that was prayed twice daily within Judaism, just reinforcing the importance of it. Jesus himself grew up praying this. And once when Jesus was asked, "Well, what command is the greatest?" Jesus responded, and this is from Mark 2, 29 to 31. "The first of all the commandments is, listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. In Hebrew, hearing and doing are basically the same thing. Obedience to the laws and to these commands was never about legalism or, you know, some way trying to earn God's favor. Obedience is about love and listening. At the end of the day, following Jesus is about love. Love that came to us when we weren't looking for it. And as we receive this love, it generates gratefulness, humility, and a commitment to honor and love him in return. Love gives birth to more love, which in turn then results in faithfulness and obedience. These truths can transform us from the inside out. The more that we follow Christ in the places of our hearts and minds, the greater that we can get to that place of being healed and restored, which then produces fruit in our lives. When we are filled with God's love, rooted in him, we are transformed into his image. And he brings grace and healing into our lives, forgiveness, redemption, truth, freedom, wholeness. Romans 2, 1-2 in the Message paraphrase tells us, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-informed maturity in you. This is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. It is a journey. It's by the work of the Holy Spirit in us, and that we have then an opportunity to progress toward wholeness. Our marred emotions, our will, our thinking can be transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit as we surrender more and more to the Spirit, and he can work in our lives with our whole being, body, soul, mind, and spirit. Our vision is Jesus, letting him into our lives where he is our focus. And as a result, we are transformed. Lord, as we embark on this series, I pray that you would help us to just open ourselves to allow you in as you are knocking. And by your Spirit, would you help us implement those changes in our lives that would bring healing and wholeness, that would bring a completeness. Help us see where we have left you out, where we are stale and stagnant, dead. And may we listen, allowing your words to sink in, to gain an understanding, and Lord, to respond, that we would love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We commit ourselves to you, Jesus, and welcome you into this place, into our lives. In your name, amen.